is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 45, A Better Man. Jia Jia isn't Bingha's other mother, Funli says, incredulous. She's not possessed. I'd know if someone else had replaced my own sister. Zhang Qinghua waves his hands in a dismissive panic. This is Huanhua Palace sect. These are great cultivation sects of the human realm. Noble warriors and wise masters, sure. But it's still not about what's true. It's about what people think is true. And what the fuck is up with that new mission stage? The window has closed, but the words are still blinking ominously inside Zhang Qinghua's brain now. Find the soul of Su Xian. How is he supposed to know where that is? He's certain that Su Xian can't have been possessing Luo Jiahui all this time. Funli is right. They would have noticed. Right? Zhang Qinghua thinks. I would have noticed, right? Uncle, we have to get back to Changcheng as soon as possible, Bingha urges. I know. Zhang Qinghua looks wildly around the room before landing on Dr. Xu again. If you've been doing real research, you'll have paperwork for it. If there's one thing that I know, it's that there's always paperwork. You should have notes on all your scummy deeds. Where are they? Dr. Xu shrinks back again, but his eyes shift towards a certain desk of books and scrolls and stacks of paper. Aha! They have a target. Fu Qiang, who has also followed the man's line of sight, immediately steps forward. Xu, allow me. She says. Yes, go ahead. Grab all of it. Zhang Qinghua agrees. He's not really in any shape here to hop over there and do it himself. Yes, Shishu. If the paperwork is not useful, however, Lady Dawn and Dr. Xu and the body of the late Su Xian should serve as ample proof. Does Shishu have a way to take all this proof back to Changcheng Mountain Sect? She briefly eyes the spear in Mo Bei Jun's hand, before lowering her eyes again. Ah, she must have heard about it from someone who attended the Immortal Alliance conference, possibly her Shizun. Zhang Qinghua supposes that there are ruder ways to hint for someone to offer a ride home. He's also pretty sure that if he leaves Fu Qiang and Luo Fanli to make their own way out of Huanhua Palace sect, it will end in bloodshed. If only because Shen Qingqiu and Liu Qingge and Luo Jiahui will have some very loud and very, very upset questions about it. Yes, yes, we'll take you back. Zhang Qinghua sighs. Thank you, Shishu. Shen Yuan, go help her with that. If the system has given them the Weeper's Eye as a cheat to get them this far, they might as well use it one last time to see if they can pick the right papers out of that mess. They've dawdled in these dungeons too long as it is now. Xin Yuan looks up from where he was removing another set of immortal binding cables from his pouch. For Lady Dawn, he says. Just in case. Zhang Qinghua vaguely... remembers an excessively long rant by Peerless Cucumber about being super out of character for any supposedly intelligent protagonist not to make sure that his enemies were dead or secured, and how doing otherwise was as good as asking to get stabbed in the back. Talk about cheap drama, he said. It was very colorful. Super funny. Zhang Qinghua thinks the screenshot of that particular rant, without any context, went partially viral too. Anyway, it's good to see this transmigrator tries to live up to his criticism sometimes. Sometimes spending too much time thinking about what you would do in a fantasy adventure pays off, huh? Ah, good idea. Bingha, take those. Xin Yuan hands the bindings over and then, again briefly raising his fingers to his tender head, follows Fu Qiang over to the evidence. The young woman is already very efficiently blindly looting all of the papers there into her pouch. Bing He quickly brings the prize back to his aunt. Fun Li sets the unconscious Lady Dan back down so they can tie their scum villain hostage up properly. Dr. Xu watches all of this with more wide-eyed alarm, like he's thinking about protesting, but Mo Bei Jun casually spins the space-tearing spear in his hand and gives the man a look of warning. Suddenly, the scum villain doctor is doing the intelligent thing of trying to swallow his own tongue so that he can never speak again. That's a very good idea. Mo Bei Jun then turns a different look on Shang Chenghua, still leaning against him. Shang Chenghua grimaces. He doesn't think that he, personally, would lose any sleep if he let Mo Bei Jun kill this guy, like the demon lord is so clearly itching to do after having to listen to him say all the things he said, but... politics, my king. Uncle, what's going to happen to him? Looking over his shoulder, Shang Chenghua sees that the young protagonist's expression is even more murderous as he binds Lady Dan. Bing He also slaps away Fun Li's hand, still glaring at Dr. Xu as she tries to take over the tying of a knot for him. Fun Li hisses at him for it. We'll throw him to the tender mercies of your Shizen, Shang Chenghua decides. Bing He considers it, then nods. Shen Qingqiu is apparently an acceptably horrible punishment here. Daga, I have a bone to pick with you later, Fun Li says, with a vicious cheerfulness, but quietly enough to keep her mission partner and Shang Chenghua's fellow transmigrator out of it. You're really lucky that Fu Shixie says we have to focus on this world-ending mission right now, because you made Jia Jia cry, did you know that? She was so worried. She cried a lot over you both. Bing He looks stricken. Shang Chenghua can't help but wince. Why is his little sister-in-law such a dirty fighter? They're already urgently hurrying back to Luo Jiahui. There's no need to make him feel worse about nearly getting murdered than he already does. Fun Li, I'm glad you made it through the Immortal Alliance conference, too. Don't pull this kind of shit again, Daga. This is really a once-in-a-lifetime stuff. Daga! We'll try not to. Bing He apparently decides, as he so often does, to just ignore his aunt. Uncle, how do we bring... Bing He nods awkwardly towards Su Xian's body. We can pick up some real clothes at Chang Chang. Maybe from my leisure house? I think that my clothes would fit. Shang Chenghua can't tell right now, but he thinks that Su Xian is around his height. As long as my house hasn't been completely turned inside out while I've been gone. And then what? Uncle, the world can see the body, if they really have to see it, to realize what really happened, but that man can't be allowed to have it. Bing He's expression is now both stricken and murderous. I don't care if he's the demon emperor, the young protagonist insists. What are his intentions? Why should he get to have the body? He's not even her husband. He was never her husband, was he? So what right does he really have to her body? That's a good point. He's the demon emperor, Bing Bing, Fun Li says. She should get to be buried properly, Bing He insists hotly, with dignity. I'm her son, so I'll do it, since apparently no one else is going to do it. I don't think that Tian Longjun will take the body or do anything to it, Shang Chenghua says hastily. Though he really could be lying for all he knows. If he could predict Tian Longjun, they wouldn't be in this mess. He just wants to see it, I think, and for everyone else to see it. No one will want to just... hand Su Xian's body over to him like that. What they want squaring up against what Tian Longjun wants is... Not really a fight with good odds, unfortunately. Xiang Qinghua winces against just thinking about that miserable standoff. It's really bad just to think about. Bingha must be imagining it too, because his expression is far from reassured. Xiang Qinghua watches his nephew come to terms with his own helplessness here, a lack of direction for his rage at this injustice, and it hurts. Bingha is more than old enough to see how throwing a fit now won't actually get him anything. It's frustrating. It's really annoying. It's part of life and growing up. Shushu, we're ready to leave, Fu Qiang announces. Good. I'm really, really sick of this place. If not for the panic over what assumptions the palace master has made about the mysterious woman raising a heavenly demon child, the prospect of finally getting to leave these shitty forbidden dungeons would probably feel intoxicating. As it is, it still feels pretty incredible. Xiang Qinghua is sick of the color of the glow of these damn lanterns, sick of the sharp chemical smell clinging to the floors, and sick of the heavy chill pressing down on them all the time, through twisting corner after twisting corner. Xiang Qinghua gives a pleading look, and Mo Beijun immediately raises the space-tearing spear and swiftly cuts a new portal open in front of them all. It's time to go home. Xun Yuan sets the example by hopping through first, completely fearlessly, and Fu Qiang and Fun Li, carrying Lady Dan, follow him a little more cautiously. Fu Qiang salutes Xiang Qinghua and Mo Beijun again in thanks as she passes. So polite, so respectful. It's probably not totally genuine, but why can't Xiang Qinghua's little sister-in-law pretend to respect him like that? Mo Beijun then picks up Dr. Xu by the back of his robes with one hand and just throws the fearful man through after them. Xiang Qinghua kind of hopes that the scum villain breaks his face upon landing, but a man can't have everything. This leaves the two of them standing alone with Bingha. The young protagonist is, of course, standing next to Su Xian's body again. He takes a deep breath before he carefully pulls his birth mother's body into his arms and lifts. This is done with such respect that Xiang Qinghua almost feels as though he shouldn't be watching this. It's a private moment. Also, there's something unbearable about the way the covering cloth flutters and Su Xian's head hangs. When Bingha turns around, his eyes are fresh with tears all over again. Xiang Qinghua wipes at his nephew's cheek as Bingha passes them, and then Mo Beijun whisks them both through the portal after him. It's still like being squashed and stretched all over the body, pulled and pushed in every direction. But clinging to Mo Beijun definitely helps, and Xiang Qinghua feels it most, for some reason, on the wetness clinging to his fingers. Goodbye, Huanhua Palace sect, Xiang Qinghua thinks. You're a shitty place and you won't be missed. Xiang Qinghua and Mo Beijun step out into Xiang Qinghua's leisure house, which, kind of looks like someone turned it upside down. It's not been totally ransacked and emptied, at least. Things are still here. Stuff hasn't been spitefully smashed onto the floor, at least as far as Xiang Qinghua can see. It's just that everything has been taken out, pulled into the open, inspected, and then left aside. Some places look like they've been stripped apart to make sure there's nothing hiding there. The entire house has been rearranged. The light in here is very dim. Xun Yuan uncovers a window to let in the early evening sunlight. It's a good move that, unfortunately, just makes Xiang Qinghua's totally rearranged house look even worse. His house has never been this crowded with mess or with people before. Uncle? Right. Take any clothes you need from the bedroom. Bingha carries Su Xian's body the way that Xiang Qinghua gestures. As he disappears, Xiang Qinghua gestures for Fun Li to drop Lady Dan, gently this time, and go help their nephew with that. Fun Li nods. Her expression is solemn enough, pitying enough, that for once Shang Qinghua doesn't feel the need to remind his little sister-in-law to be nice to their poor nephew. "Shushu," Fu Qiang says softly, "if you will wait here, I will find an Anding cultivator and send for Shizun's next orders. The emergency discussion conference has officially begun on Changding Peak. The sect is crowded with outsiders." Shang Qinghua nods in understanding. "Yeah, that makes sense. As much as he wants to sneak onto Changding Peak right now, they don't want to be seen by some random sect leader who will jump to even more random conclusions." Then he stops nodding and says, "You're going to send for him now? Now? Right now? Now? This mission really is happening way too quickly. Why is everyone in such a rush all the time? Duan Tian, you pushed them to break in right away, and now they're already back at Changchong Mountain Sect. A war between the human and demon realms might be at stake here, sure, but can't a man just take a few minutes to breathe?" "Can't a man have a few hours, maybe a few days, to muster up the feeble courage not to run the fuck away from his scariest and angriest Shuxiang? That's something that requires at least a week of mental preparation. Ideally, a lifetime." "Shushu, Shizun is the most familiar with the current arrangement across the sect," Fu Qiang says, very reasonably. "It sounds a lot like, Shushu, you've been gone, and you have no fucking clue who we put where. You'll get lost or caught." "Which is true. For once, this hard-working and underappreciated lord of Anding Peak wasn't involved in the setup of this get-together, and he has only the barest clue, thanks to Peng Hongpeng's spying, who is lodging where the meetings are happening, and where the patrol routes are. He can still make pretty good guesses, he thinks. Logistics are usually done pretty logically. He knows how his disciples think about these things. But he doesn't even know where exactly Luo Jiahui is right now."
"Shizun and Yue Shibo will want to know at once what we have found," Fu Qiang says next, still so reasonable.
"This sounds a lot like, Shushu, they're only going to be even angrier if you don't tell them as soon as possible. I'm absolutely going to tattle on you here. Shizun will mentally calculate every minute you wasted not greeting him and begging for forgiveness, and he'll hold every single one of them against you in the form of the Xu Ya sword at your throat."
True,
Shang Qinghua agrees faintly. "Yes, go do that." Fu Qiang salutes him and exits the leisure house at once. "There she goes, off to fetch Shang Qinghua's personal doom. Well, since he's in a meeting, Shen Qingqiu will probably send a messenger first. Or maybe Liu Qingge, or Qi Qingqi, or Wei Qingwei. Shang Qinghua really thought that he would have more time before he had to start polishing some bullshit for his senior martial brothers. He was gonna come up with something really good for them, he told himself. Something impossibly good to make them less incandescent with rage towards him somehow. If he's lucky, he's got maybe an hour to figure that out. He can't rush that kind of brilliance. The urge to jump out a window and run is very powerful, but Luo Jiahui. He's just noticed now that his front door has been very recently repaired. It's clearly a rush job, too. Not nearly nice enough for the personal residence of the Lord of Anding Peak now, so Shang Qinghua will definitely have to replace it if he doesn't get executed or banished.
Shun Shixiang, bro, did you actually kick down my door? He thinks.
Speaking of Shuns, Shun Yuan moves a few books aside to collapse onto Shang Qinghua's sofa. The weeper's eye gets dropped into his lap, so that he can hold his head in his hands. And it really looks like he might hurl into the nearest misplaced piece of home decor. It's hard to tell if this is a side effect of the creepy artifact, or a reaction to the reveal of the worst backstory ever. It could totally be both.
Shang Changhua watches as his fellow transmigrator fumbles to one-handedly open a pouch and put the weeper's eye away. But then his attention is drawn away by a hand squeezing his hip. Mo Beijun draws them both aside, nearer to the doorway to Shang Changhua's home office, away from the unconscious Lady Dan and crumpled Dr. Xu.
"My king?" Shang Changhua says softly.
Mo Beijun's expression is very serious here.
"Will you join the conference?"
I don't think I have a choice.
There's no way that Bingha will be content to leave again now.
"I need to be here for my nephew," Shang Changhua whispers. "I need to help him look after his birth mother's body and help him navigate the sect now that everyone knows he's a demon. I need to check on my sister. I'm pretty sure that my martial siblings really won't kill me. I mean, they said they wouldn't. And Liu Qingge wouldn't let them make Luo Jiahui cry. And I need to make sure that the palace master doesn't get away with this and that the sects get their fucking shit together for Tian Langchun."
Mo Beijun nods, but says,
"It would be unwise if I joined you in this."
Yes, very unwise.
Mo Beijun has always been crystal fucking clear that he won't work for Changchang Mountain Sect. Everything he's done here has been a personal favor to Shang Changhua, which makes this poor transmigrator's head spin a little bit, because that's pretty far to go just for the likes of him. Also, Mo Beijun can't really afford to have the world knowing that he's working with Changchang Mountain Sect at all. Especially not right now, with a bunch of demon lords eagerly readying themselves for the war to end all wars. Shang Changhua doesn't want to let go yet, though.
"I will return to the Ice Palace,"
Mo Beijun says quietly.
"I must determine what is to be done there."
Shang Changhua glances towards Dr. Xu, who has definitely proven that he can't keep a fucking secret to save his life. The bad side to that, if this scum villain implicates Mo Beijun in front of a bunch of sect leaders or something, then maybe everyone will just laugh the whole thing off as nonsense. But if it gets back to the Northern Demon King somehow, and Mo Beijun's shitty father believes it...
"My king, I know that you don't really want to."
"I will do what I must."
There's no room for argument in that tone of voice. Well, Shang Changhua could probably make some room, but now really isn't a good time or space for that. He trusts that Mo Beijun knows his own clan politics pretty well. He trusts that Mo Beijun knows himself pretty well. It's Mo Beijun's choice.
"Good luck, my king. I'd come with you for moral support and all of that, but, well, your shitty father probably, definitely, hates me, and I'd probably, very definitely, only get in your way."
"Call, and I will come,"
Mo Beijun promises.
Hopefully, Zhao Hua Temple doesn't set up an interfering barrier here, too, to make things hard again,
Shang Changhua jokes, but Mo Beijun's expression is totally humorless.
Too soon?
Shang Changhua clears his throat.
"My king, if I need you, I'll call right away. Even if everything goes well, I'll call just to tell you what happens. Even if it goes on through the night, I'll find a way to excuse myself so you can see that I'm not dead yet, and I can make sure that you're fine, too."
"Do not die,"
Mo Beijun says.
"Ha-ha, I'll try."
"Shang Changhua,"
Mo Beijun repeats warningly.
"Do not."
"I won't, my king, I really won't."
Shang Changhua hasn't made it this far to give up now. He's faced ancient warlords and their undying followers, abyssal immortals and their cultivated monsters, and a demon king and a demon emperor, and also survived getting stabbed by some fucking random asshole. So he can't really let someone like the palace master have the satisfaction now. The man isn't deserving of that achievement. Also, Shang Changhua wants to live.
He's always wanted to survive. But now he really, really wants to live, too.
Mo Beijun leans in and presses their foreheads together.
You are too important,
the man says quietly.
Same to you, Shang Ching Hua whispers. Please take care of yourself, my king.
Fu Qiang returns shortly, reporting that she has sent a messenger on to Changding Peak's meeting hall. Shang Ching Hua is very tempted to ask if the Qingjing Peak cultivator didn't go herself because she's concerned that he might run off on her or something. But he's certain that this young woman will just demur masterfully at him if he cracks that joke. Even though the goodbyes are all taken care of, Mo Beijun lingers to see what happens next. Shang Ching Hua doesn't think that armed cultivators are going to surround the house here, but he clings for as long as he can. Mo Beijun lingers long enough for Shen Yuan to stand up again, come over, and boldly ask the demon lord for a block of ice. Mo Beijun wordlessly summons a fist-sized chunk of ice and hands it over so that Shen Yuan, who at least very politely thanks him for it, can wrap it in a spare cloth and hold it against his head as a makeshift ice pack. Shang Ching Hua amusedly wonders how long his fellow transmigrator has been considering and holding in this request.
Ah, I knew you'd be useful on this mission, my king, Shang Ching Hua whispers.
Mo Beijun huffs against his temple. Shen Yuan returns to the sofa to lie down completely. Out of the corner of his eye, Shang Ching Hua can see Fu Qiang raise her eyebrow at Cucumber Bro's complete lack of propriety in front of his teacher and a demon lord. The next thing Shang Ching Hua knows, the door to his leisure house swings open fiercely, and Shen Qingqiu walks inside. Shang Ching Hua kind of stops breathing. He really thought that the man would send a messenger or something first. He blinks a few times, just to make sure that he's not hallucinating or suffering a trick of the evening light or something like that. But, unfortunately, he's not. That's really Shen Qingqiu, here, in his house. He's never known anyone else in this world who 100% achieves that peerless, oh yeah, that guy is definitely a formidable peak lord and in every way better than me, silhouette. And today, this scum villain who could eat other scum villains for breakfast looks extra fearsome. Maybe even more formidable than he looked at the disastrous Immortal Alliance conference. Those white formal robes and that elegant silver armor, with only the slightest lines of dark green breaking them up, cut a presence sharp enough to hurt the eyes, even in this bad lighting. Those gleaming hair ornaments look like actual weapons. Is this the outfit Shen Qingqiu would wear to Shang Ching Hua's execution? If so, that's a little flattering, at least. The gaze that lands on him could also be a weapon. Why is his bro like this?
Shang Ching Hua,
Shen Qingqiu greets coldly.
Shen Zhixiang,
Shang Ching Hua returns, his voice pitched embarrassingly higher than intended.
Isn't there an emergency discussion conference happening?
I left for more important matters.
What a thing to imagine! An urgent messenger arriving at Changding Peak's meeting hall, followed by Shen Qingqiu, Lord of Qingqing Peak, second of Changchong Mountain Sect, just getting up and leaving the meeting that's supposed to determine the sect's response to Tian Langjun, and in doing so determine the fate of the human and demon realms? Did someone dare to ask Shen Qingqiu where he was going? Did Shen Qingqiu explicitly tell a room full of sect leaders that he had to attend to something more important, but please carry on without him?
Holy shit, bro. That's such a powerful move.
Shang Ching Hua thinks, impressed despite his own terror. He really wishes he could have seen that. It would have been so fucking funny. And then Shen Qingqiu looks at Mo Beijun, and Shang Ching Hua remembers that he's actually super terrified right now. It's hard to tell who has the iciest expression here.
The tension in the room could be cut with a sword. Holy shit! Shang Cheng Hua hopes that no one draws a sword. It really feels, in this drawn-out moment, that someone is going to die here. It seems like it might be Shang Cheng Hua from concentrated stress. This is a bad meeting. This is a really, really bad meeting. That should, for the love of everything that is good in this world, not be happening. Shang Cheng Hua exchanges a wide-eyed look with his fellow transmigrator, who seems to be the only other person here who really gets it. Fu Qiang steps forward, and even her polite expression has noticeable strain this time.
Shizen, this is Lady Dawn, she says, more bravely than perhaps any person in this world and all its history. And this is Dr. Xu, with Shang Shixiu's assistance. We found and retrieved Su Xian's body from the depths of the Huanhua Palace dungeons. We have also uncovered activities and records of these activities that will place the palace master in a sufficiently difficult position.
Shen Qingqiu tears his eyes away from the demon in order to listen to the report. He looks over their new prisoners and Shen Yuan, who is now sitting again at least. He glances towards the bedroom, where Bing He and Fan Li have lit a light of some kind to help them tend to Su Xian's body.
Well done,
Shen Qingqiu says, but he's looking directly at Shang Cheng Hua again as he says it, and there are probably deserts less dry than that praise.
Also, the cultivator known as Wu Yifei is dead.
That gets Shen Qingqiu's attention again briefly, with an actual turn of the chin. Shang Cheng Hua almost opens his mouth to ask why the man gives a shit that cultivator overcompensating belt buckle of all people is dead. Clearly, the man was the main errand runner for the palace master's nastiest plots, so it makes sense that Shen Qingqiu knows the man by name. But shouldn't that mean Shen Qingqiu should have wanted him as another prisoner? What's up with that satisfied look? In the front doorway, Shang Cheng Hua distractedly spots a pair of figures lurking awkwardly outside. He recognizes the taller one as Ming Fan, the head disciple of his nephew's age group, on Qingqing Peak, and the one in Chongding Peak uniform as Yue Qingyuan's youngest assistant, yet another survivor of the House of Rejuvenation. What was his name again? Jing Bao? Summoned by the new voices, Fan Li and Bing He come to stand in the bedroom doorway. They both salute Shen Qingqiu appropriately, because they both have survival instincts. Bing He bows very quickly, and Fan Li follows suit at Shang Cheng Hua's urgent look, clever enough to see that this isn't the moment to tempt the wrath of one of their sect leaders. Shen Qingqiu looks at the young protagonist, then dismissively away, as though Luo Binghe isn't nearly as important here as glaring at Shang Cheng Hua. It's like the man barely cares at all that one of his least favorite disciples turned out to be a heavenly demon. Or like that man has decided that Luo Binghe's responsibility here pales in comparison to the faults of Shang Cheng Hua. On the one hand, that's kind of relieving. On the other hand, it is absolutely fucking not. Shang Cheng Hua summons all of his courage, looks up at Mo Bei Jun and says, "My king, I have things from here." Even though he really doesn't have anything. Mo Bei Jun stares, then nods, with a final look towards Shen Qingqiu, which the man meets like he's trying to freeze an ice demon with his eyes and willpower alone. Mo Bei Jun raises the space-tearing spear and cuts a portal open. Mo Bei Jun's hand stretched out behind him only slips from Shang Cheng Hua's fingers when the portal has already started to close behind him. Shang Cheng Hua looks back at Shen Qingqiu. He reminds himself that saying, "Bro, if you're gonna kill me, can you just do it already?" is off the table here.
Ming Fan, fetch clean formal uniforms for our wayward disciples.
Shen Qingqiu calls finally,
for Qingjing, Anding, and Xianxu.
Ming Fan startles, then turns on his heel and sprints away. Shen Qingqiu then orders Fu Qiang and his other errand-running minion, Xing Bao, to take the new prisoners to the Chongding Peak dungeons at once. Fu Qiang and Xing Bao leap to obey. After seeing the way that Lady Dawn's head lolls and Dr. Xu's scraped face, the man did land badly, apparently. Shen Qingqiu tells his disciples to fetch one of Mu Qingfang's people as well. Fu Qiang nods as she leaves to get it done.
"We don't want them dying while they're still useful to us,"
Shen Qingqiu says.
"Yes, Shizhen."
It's only when Lady Dawn and Dr. Xu are definitely gone, out of sight and out of earshot, that Shen Qingqiu finally goes in for the kill and says,
"So that is the future Mo Bei Jun I have only recently heard so much about."
Yes, he has family matters to deal with, Xiang Chenghua says weakly.
"I imagine."
Xiang Chenghua and Shen Qingqiu could probably do this all day, so the first one to break in this standoff is actually Luo Binghe.
"Shizhen, please," Binghe says. "My mother, is she well? Is she safe?"
Shen Qingqiu is a very cruel man, because he waits several seconds before he finally says,
"Yes, Madame Luo remains well and well guarded."
Xiang Chenghua isn't the only one to sigh in relief here. Luo Jiahui is still safe, for now at least. "Shibo, you will not believe the things that we found down there," Luo Funli says, fearlessly allowing herself to slump against the bedroom doorway. "Whatever you were expecting when you sent Fu Shuqia to get dirt on Huanhua Palace, it's way worse than that. It's so much worse than that."
"My expectations were very low indeed,"
Shen Qingqiu says flatly. "So were mine," Zhang Qinghua mutters. "And still..."
"Show me the body,"
Shen Qingqiu orders, and glares at Xiang Qinghua again, probably just to make him wince again.
"You may attempt to surprise me."
Limping over to the bedroom reveals it to be a similarly sorry state to the rest of Xiang Qinghua's rearranged house. Binghe and Fan Li have cleared space on the bed for Su Xian's body, which they've dressed in a couple layers of simple inner robes. Some potential options for outer robes have been set aside. Instead of starting to yell and never stopping, Shen Qingqiu silently takes Su Xian's wrist in one hand. As the man does whatever it is he does, he studies the neat surgical lines and golden symbols painted over her body. Binghe is actually the one who does most of the talking, spurred to confession by his Shizhen's formidable presence. The young protagonist speaks with only occasional interjections from Shen Yuan or Xiang Qinghua to add a little more detail. Binghe very briefly describes the underground storage rooms and gardens, but jumps almost immediately to the rooms of the dead that they found, both reanimated and not. He describes in better detail, like a mission report, encountering Dr. Xu and chasing the man down to the room with Su Xian's body. When he gets to Fu Qiang and Luo Fanli's arrival, Fanli briefly describes traveling with the uncooperative Lady Dawn to Huanhua Palace, then the decision to follow Wu Yifei down to the Forbidden Dungeons when they had spied the man rushing by. To answer the alarm, Dr. Xu had set off. She, Binghe, and Shen Yuan all together do their best to recall Dr. Xu's exact words as he confessed everything. Fan Li and Binghe are indignant, outraged, and disgusted. Shen Yuan, like Xiang Chenghua, mostly just sounds tired. Xiang Chenghua didn't need more proof that Shen Qingqiu is one of the most stubborn people alive, but through an impossible feat of sheer determination, the man manages not only to not be sick hearing about all of this. Hearing all of this for a second time, Xiang Qinghua only represses the urge to be sick into the nearest container and mess up his poor house even more. But the man manages to keep from looking surprised, too.
He doesn't even flinch. Stone has nothing on this man's fixed face of pure disdain.
Is that, worse than you were expecting?
Zhang Tinghua asks.
The man could at least have the decency to flinch. Throw up at least a little bit, bro. It's cool. No one would judge.
Shen Qingqiu glares at him and refuses to answer.
Daga thinks that the palace master thinks that Su Xian is possessing my sister,
Luo Fanli says next. Someone better think of a good way to tell Arga about this stupid idea so that he doesn't jump up and try to kill the man for trying to kidnap her like that. I don't know if I'll be able to hold him back, Daga.
I don't want to, is what the little sister-in-law is really saying here.
Zhang Jinghua can't blame her. He'd really like to just let Luo Qingge have at it, too. The man must be aching to kill someone over all of this by this point. They just need to point him in the right direction and let him loose. That's what being a resident war god is for.
We have to ruin some reputations first, at least, Zhang Tinghua says, jokingly, but not really joking. Otherwise, it'll make us look like bullies.
Indeed,
Shen Qingqiu says, and stands again. He really is so good at looming. Zhang Tinghua doesn't really know what to do with the fact that Shen Qingqiu isn't yelling right now. He was expecting more yelling than this. Way more yelling than this. He's grateful that his ears haven't been cut to shreds and scorched off, sure, but it's really terrifying just to wait for an eruption like this. Has the man had enough time to put his anger behind him and get straight to plotting elaborate revenge? This can't just be because Yue Qingyuan asked Shen Qingqiu to pretty please refrain from eviscerating the traitorous Zhang Tinghua. But Shen Qingqiu only asks Binghe, Fanli, and Shen Yuan for a few extra details, such as things that they might have noticed about the bodies they encountered and whether or not they recognized any of them, or how many bodies Shen Yuan counted with his demonic artifact and the rest of them counted with their eyes. Ming Fan returns with uniforms, and Shen Qingqiu orders Luo Binghe, Luo Fanli, and Shen Yuan to make themselves presentable. His tone of voice isn't one that anyone can or will argue with. He dismisses them from the room and... there it is. Zhang Tinghua didn't get up fast enough not to be trapped. And Shen Qingqiu is between him and the door, of course. Fuck, Zhang Tinghua thinks. Shen Qingqiu takes his time about it, of course. At first, the man just stares, considering Zhang Tinghua, possibly like he's found some unpleasant creature that he doesn't want in his house, but can't step on for whatever reason.
So, a demon lover,
Shen Qingqiu says, almost conversationally.
Well, not all demons.
And an amateur fortune teller, apparently.
Shen Qingqiu interrupts, and Zhang Tinghua nearly swallows his own tongue.
A man of many devotions.
Zhang Tinghua hadn't seen what's happened to the creepy basement yet. His fucked up leg throbs at the thought of going down there, and the rest of him shivers at the thought of going down there now when he never liked going down there before. He didn't add that shit to his house. He didn't do that to his character.
Did you not predict, in all your elaborate works, that we might wish to know some of these things? That we might have things to say about your exploits on behalf of the sect?
Yes, Zhang Tinghua says warily. That's kind of why he didn't tell them. He didn't want to be executed, banished, or yelled at.
Shen Qingqiu, the best and worst of bros among bros, that exact murderous glare is why Zhang Tinghua didn't cough up any of his schemes or secrets until now.
I have a great deal to say to you,
Shen Qingqiu begins coldly.
I undoubtedly deserve it,
Shang Ching Hua replies.
Yes, you do.
Now, isn't really the best time to get into it, though? Shang Ching Hua tries. There are kids in the next room. Well, young adults who have killed things, but still, young and innocent eyes. Shang Ching Hua really thought that Yue Qingyuan would be here when he saw Shen Qingqiu again. Big bro, he thinks mournfully. You were supposed to be my shield here. You were supposed to fling yourself on this killing rage for me. I never thought that you would be the one to betray me like this.
No, now is quite inconvenient.
Shen Qingqiu agrees. Shit, that worked? Shang Cheng Hua thinks. So, now what?
Now, Shen Qingqiu says coldly, you will make yourself presentable as a lord of Changchong Mountain Sect and sit quietly in the hole you have dug for us all instead of doing any more damage. Meanwhile, we will continue to pretend for the cultivation world that we have known all this time that you brought a heavenly demon into our midst and that you did so with our explicit permission.
I can do that.
How indulgent of you.
Shen Qingqiu rips into Shang Cheng Hua's wardrobe and flings clothing at him like he's trying to kill him with it.
Get dressed. It will not serve Changchong's united front if one of our lords appears in front of the cultivation sect, dressed as though he recently fell out of a demon's bed.
Shang Cheng Hua glances down. Right. He is wearing noticeably informal and demonic clothing in Mobei clan colors, just like Binghe before Shen Qingqiu dismissed him. On the one hand, he'd love to see those faces if he showed up like this. Him having any kind of allegiance to the demon realm? No way. No, it's called fashion. Look it up, bro. Totally unrelated. On the other hand, that's a really bad idea. He meekly gets dressed up as the Lord of Anding Peak again, while Shen Qingqiu picks out jewelry and hair ornaments like he's considering which one to use to slit Shang Cheng Hua's throat later. Maybe he'll pick one to strangle him with later if he's feeling like it. Shang Cheng Hua already feels like shit for a lot of reasons. This is just unnecessary. I'm sorry that you found out like this, he offers. It sounds pathetic. It is pathetic. Shen Qingqiu treats it as such.
That implies you intended on allowing us to find out what fools you had made of us, he answers icily.
Shang Cheng Hua winces. That's true enough.
Do not imagine, however, that you have wholly surprised us. We had suspected, before your chosen sister and her brute of a husband spoke to us, that you were acquainted with demons. Very likely at least one high-ranking demon.
You did? Who's we?
Yue Qingyuan and myself. How else would you have your intelligence in regards to the Immortal Alliance Conference? Wanting, though it turned out to be in the end, thanks to the childish whims of childish kings.
So that's what Big Bro was getting at back then.
Did you really imagine that we had all wholly forgotten how you alone survived a massacre as a disciple?
Shen Qingqiu demands, unimpressed. Well, I kind of hoped, bro, Shang Cheng Hua thinks, swallowing harshly.
I have already heard at length about your poor decisions, and why you may or may not have made them.
Shen Qingqiu informs him.
You have had stalwart defenders in our resident war god and his wife. If I believe that you had any idea that the demon emperor would return, I might commend you on your choice to seek out his son. But it is clear that you did not know this future.
I would have done things very differently if...
Do you know what happens next?
No.
What's done is done,
Shen Qingqiu says flatly. True. Very true.
Now the world has ended, and what's left of it is against us.
Shang Cheng Hua swallows.
So the only thing to do, Shen Qingqiu says, is carry on and make the best of this corner you have so clumsily managed to push us all into.
What other option is there? Shang Cheng Hua agrees faintly.
Don't stop getting dressed.
Right, right. Shen Qingqiu surveys Shang Cheng Hua's handiwork so far, in silence for a few terrible seconds, then says, in a low voice,
I have but one other question for Shang Shidi before he returns to the world of the living.
Oh?
Now that we are once again living at the whims of a heavenly demon, what possessed you to bring one up and into power, knowing what it could be? What good did you think you were doing when you made such a choice?
Ah, this man is never going to ask the easy questions, is he? Why? Shang Cheng Hua asks warily.
Humor me,
Shen Qingqiu says. Shang Cheng Hua doesn't know how to answer this. He doesn't have a fucking clue what Shen Qingqiu wants to hear. He kind of suspects that there is no answer that the man will deem worthy. If it doesn't matter what Shang Cheng Hua says, it might as well be true. I wanted things to be better than they were, he says helplessly. I wanted things to be better than they were going to be. Who was I, of all people, to try and change everything like that? Except, the person who was there. Shen Qingqiu stares at him. I wanted to be a better man than I am, Shang Cheng Hua adds, which he's not sure that he's ever said aloud before. And what was stopping me? I looked at my reasons for not trying to change things, and they just weren't that good. He's just a boy, you know? Shen Qingqiu stares at him, then says,
I have heard more than enough of that argument already. I do not need to hear it again. What guarantee have you that this boy will not now take a turn for the worse? He's just a boy, after all. Should Tian Longjun offer a hand, now that he knows he has a son, what is to stop the boy from taking it and being ruined? Lesser temptations have ruined far lesser men.
Well, he doesn't like that guy for one thing, Shang Cheng Hua points out. For another thing, he's really scared of disappointing you, and me, and his mother, and his stepfather, and his friends, and Yue Qingyuan. I didn't let him go to your peak because I thought you'd give him a swelled head, Shuxiang. That daring compliment just makes Shen Qingqiu glare harder. There's really no pleasing this guy. Shen Qingqiu comes closer, and Shang Cheng Hua watches the man in the mirror. He's all dressed up as a peak lord again, probably about as fancy and formal as he's ever looked in his life, if a person can ignore his visibly recent illness. It's familiar. It still looks like he's only pretending, especially next to Shen Qingqiu.
You are immensely fortunate that our possession of the son of Tian Longjun and Su Xian may be of great benefit to us in this wretched mess left to us by our predecessors,
Shen Qingqiu says, and reaches out to straighten one of Shang Cheng Hua's hair ornaments with ruthless and painful precision. Fucking ow!
And that we must strike while the metal is hot. If you have ever had any loyalty to this sect, to any of us, now is the time to prove it.
Hey, I went to Huanhua Palace and found all the proof we need to bury those assholes forever, just like you kind of told me to do.
Continue to prove it, Shang Cheng Hua. The work is not done yet.
I'd really like to see my sister first.
Afterwards.
Shen Qingqiu's look says that if Tian Longjun decides to kill them all, or if the sects turn on Changchong Mountain Sect, he'll take Shangqing Hua down with him if it's the last thing that he does. Shangqing Hua wonders if Shen Qingqiu considered abandoning ship, but, the man could never leave Yue Qingyuan behind, could he? Shen Qingqiu has his own strings tying him to this sect. They're all in the same shitty corner here. So if Shangqing Hua doesn't get this right, his Shuxiang will probably totally kill him. That's fair. It's also extremely motivating. What do you need me to do? Shangqing Hua asks.
I need you to be a prop.
Shen Qingqiu snaps. Oh, what? The disciples have also made themselves presentable, at least by Shangqing Hua's standards. Ming Fan looks up with hope and fear for his Shizun's approval of his hard work with these uniforms and wrangling wayward disciples into them. But Shen Qingqiu immediately picks out a collar that isn't lying perfectly, a knot that he demands be retied at once, and an actual hair out of place. Do they want to make Changchong Mountain Sect look like they associate with demons? Bingha and Ming Fan scramble to fix it. Fan Li and Chen Yuan reluctantly make the adjustments when Shangqing Hua glares and flaps his hands at them to listen to their Shibo. Is this an emergency discussion conference to determine the sect's response to the Demon Emperor's demands and therefore the fate of the world? Yes! Are any of the present sect leaders really going to privately judge them if their clothes aren't perfect? Probably yes. At least a little bit. It's better not to risk it. They don't want to give anyone an excuse to say, "That all sounded very important, but I couldn't hear you over the sound of that stray thread clinging to your sleeve. Could you repeat that thing about human experimentation?" Shen Qingqiu announces his intentions for publicly skewering Huanhua Palace Sect at the emergency discussion conference. He makes a lot of points, but the most important one seems to be, "Shut the fuck up and only talk when I tell you to talk. And when you talk, you had better only say exactly what I tell you to say." It's like he and Yue Qingyuan don't trust them or something.
Shizun, Bingha says.
Shen Qingqiu's head snaps around so quickly that Bingha flinches back.
"Be silent," he hisses. "You will not speak. You will not make accusations or demands. Even if someone speaks directly to you, you will look to me alone. You will not answer unless I speak to you. You will not listen to him."
Shen Qingqiu points a hurtful finger in Shangqing Hua's direction. "It's kind of fair, though."
Bingha swallows. "These sect leaders are little better than rabid dogs, starving and cornered. They will not hesitate to tear us all to shreds if they sense the slightest weakness in our ranks. If we are truly attempting to protect the heavenly demon in our midst," Shen Qingqiu continues, "do you truly think that as soon as your ancestry was made public, it was not suggested to great approval that we track you down and hold a knife to your throat in order to hold Tian Langjun at bay?"
Shen Yuan startles an alarm. Fan Li makes a noise of outrage. Shangqing Hua is not surprised. Peng Hong Peng implied that kind of thing was being said. The terror that a heavenly demon invokes, especially one returning from imprisonment with good reason to take revenge on the cultivation sect, really isn't to be taken lightly. There's a reason he wanted Bingha to go with Mo Beijun. Unfortunately, he knows his nephew won't leave now, not without making sure that both of his mothers make it out.
"You will swallow your anger,"
Shen Qingqiu orders.
"You will control your face. You will hold your tongue if you have to bite it until it bleeds. And then you will swallow that blood before you let a single one of those dogs scent it. If you allow yourself to show rage, if you give them any indication, you are the mindless beast they think you are. Anything less than pathetically grateful to be allowed to live and be of service to these people, they will kill you."
Bingha's eyes are on the floor.
Do not make the issue of keeping you alive any more difficult than it already is, Shen Qingqiu warns. Shang Chenghua kind of expects the man to declare next that if Bing He fucks up, he'll throw him to the dogs personally. But instead, Shen Qingqiu just says, "Do you understand?" After several seconds, the young protagonist nods. "Good," Shen Qingqiu says, like the word tastes foul in his mouth. Fun Li looks between her nephew and her martial uncle, the dissatisfaction of seeing anyone besides herself bully him, and says unhappily, "Shibo, you are forbidden to speak at all." Shen Qingqiu snaps immediately.
Shang Qinghua unfortunately kind of agrees with that, because his little sister-in-law is hardly the most diplomatic person. But there are nicer ways to say that. There are nicer ways to say all of this. But Shen Qingqiu isn't that kind of bro, especially when he's already in a bad mood. And Shang Qinghua feels like trying to explain that this is kind of good for him would make no one happy.
"Enough of this," Shen Qingqiu says, glaring at all of these unruly disciples, and then at Shang Qinghua, who is an unruly shitty, he supposes. "Let us see if we can save the cultivation world despite itself." Fun Li is the one who ends up carrying Su Xian's body. Shen Qingqiu wants to enter with his heavenly demon disciple and the Peak Lord presumed dead, but preserves Su Xian as one of the final nails in the coffin. Unsurprisingly, Bing He is reluctant to let the remains of his birth mother go. Fun Li raises a hand and flicks his forehead, directly on his demon mark. He startles and scowls at her.
"Bing Bing," Fun Li says softly, "I have her."
Reluctantly, surprisingly, Bing He backs off and lets his adoptive mother's sister carry the body of the birth mother he never knew. Probably because Fun Li holds the body like it's precious, moving with an atypical degree of care. Even more surprisingly, at least to Shang Qinghua, the one who pulls Luo Bing He away from his adoptive aunt carrying his birth mother is Ming Fan, the other Qing Jing Peak disciple, has, until now, seemed to be keeping a certain measure of distance from his shuri. Like the young man hasn't been entirely sure whether or not being a heavenly demon is infectious. But here is where he apparently finds the courage to take Bing He's elbow and even hold it as they walk. Bing He looks surprised by the gesture. Shang Qinghua is sure now that his nephew noticed his Shixiang's earlier caution, only pretending to ignore the awkwardness. "After this is all over, you have to stick around at least long enough to explain yourself to Shuqie, understand?" Ming Fan mutters to his unruly shitty. "Yingying has been really worried about you, you know." Bing He recovers enough to smile and say politely, "Of course, Ming Shixiang." "It's the least you can do," Ming Fan insists. "You're right as always, Ming Shixiang." "Stop that. My solemn apologies, Ming Shixiang." "Ugh." "Of course, Ming Shixiang." Ming Fan makes another audible sound of frustration, but doesn't release Bing He yet. It warms some part of Shang Qinghua's shriveled heart to see it. A hand at Shang Qinghua's own elbow distracts him from watching his nephew and his nephew's friend. It's his fellow transmigrator, of course. Xin Yuan is looking pretty good in a formal Anding Peak uniform, though his tension and exhaustion is obvious around all his edges. Like student, like teacher today. Xin Yuan pulls him down to whisper in his ear as Shang Qinghua floats along on his sword next to him.
"Did you see that last mission?"
"What, part 3?
"Yes, the one who got away."
"Yeah, I saw it, bro."
"What are we going to do about it?"
"I don't know," Shang Qinghua hisses back. "Figure it out later, because I'll get stabbed in the back if I try to run off now. Hope to fucking hell that Tian Langjun doesn't show up and demand her soul too,
because I have no damn clue where to start looking because I didn't write this. Sushion didn't matter like this in that story.
Do you think Sushion really has possessed someone? Or is a ghost? Or has reincarnated but kept her memories? Or destroyed her own soul?
Zhang Qinghua whispers.
Shen Yuan says nothing.
It could be any of those options. Look, bro, I need to focus on this. You have the eye. Just you think about it and keep an eye out. I'll think about it too, and I'll get back to you on this, okay? I need to make sure that my nephew and my sister are safe here first.
Shen Yuan doesn't look satisfied, of course, because when has this anti-fan ever been satisfied with anything? But he apparently can't argue that protecting Bingha from the cultivation sects isn't a worthy cause. He also can't argue Shen Qingqiu looking over his shoulder at them isn't a threat to be ignored.
The lines that cannot be crossed, please hold.
It's time to switch over to Death of the Author again, apparently.
Death of the Author, Part 3. The Man Who Knows Everything. Mission objective: return to the sects and satisfy the demand for truth.
Zhang Qinghua really hopes that one isn't literal.